Listeners, on the mobile phone with me today is Barry Park, the director of the Lisbon La Traviata, which is being performed between now and the 27th of April at the Garrick Theatre in Guildford. There's plenty of time to get some tickets, so go along, it'll be a good night. Tickets are available via tastix.com and just follow the prompts for the Garrick Theatre. The play was written by the incredibly successful Terence McNally in 1989. Now, he was born in Florida in 1938 and died in 2020 after a really amazing, stellar career in playwriting. For instance, he won 5 Tony Awards, amongst many other things. Now it's at that quaint theatre in Guildford. Hello there, Barry, and welcome to the show.
Hello, Julie. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. This play looks so interesting. It's called the Lisbon La Traviata, and it's regarded as witty and a comic tragedy. So can you give our listeners a quick outline of the plot, with no spoilers, please, Barry?
It's almost split into two halves. The first half is very, very funny, and then the second half becomes more like an operatic tragedy. The playwright says quite unapologetically that's what he was trying to achieve in this play, to point out that plays must reflect life. There's laughter and tears, and that's what he's trying to reflect in this play. So basically the play's about a group of 4 friends. One of them's sort of outsider, but the 2 friends at the beginning are Mendy, who is an absolute opera fanatic. He loves his opera, and he could spend hours talking about it, and he knows everything about opera. He has a long-time friend, Stephen, who's visiting him, and the reason for his visit becomes apparent later in the play. But they're spending the evening together discussing opera, discussing life, discussing the relationships with each other, playing little bits of operatic music, correcting each other when they get things wrong.
Showing
and
off.
It's very funny. Yeah. Oh, lots of showing off, yes. Lots of
huge
friendly
gestures.
Banter and arguments going on between the 2 of them. Sorry, I didn't hear you.
I was thinking lots of huge gestures and so on, because Mendy seems to me to be the type of character that walks around, strutting around with his arms flying everywhere and him sort of being...
Oh, yes, Mendy's a very, very funny character. He's absolutely obsessed with Maria Callas.
Oh.
And this is, of course, where the play gets its name from, the Lisbon Traviata. He's got all the recordings of the La Traviata, and he knows every one of them intensely. He knows where she sharps, and the 2 of them know Maria very well. Stephen lets on that there's a recording of a Traviata production that was performed in Lisbon. Mendy is astounded to find out about this. He says, "What do you mean, the Lisbon Traviata?" And Stephen says, "Yes, it's a Traviata she sang in Lisbon on March 27th, 1958. And of course, Mendy is now desperate to get his hands on this rare pirated recording of an opera. And Stephen just happens to have the opera at home. And of course, Mendy is in the first act desperately encouraging Stephen to go home and fetch the recording and bring it to him. Stephen is reluctant to go home because, as it turns out, his lover, a long-time lover, they've been in a relationship for 8 years, he's got a young friend over. He's very reluctant for Mendy to go over there to get the recording of the opera. And then the second act is set in Stephen and Mike's apartment, which is very, very different to Mendy's apartment. And of course, this is where all the dramatic confrontations take place. Then the operatic jealousy explodes, and we've got these dramatic confrontations and denials and recriminations and revelations and all the things that you find in grand opera come out in the second half of the play.
What a brilliant script, though, don't you think?
Yes, with a rather dramatic denouement, as most operas have.
Yes, all right.
But very exciting play.
Oh, I was just thinking, I have done some background reading, and I saw that Callas did make that Lisbon La Traviata, and apparently it was pirated while they were doing it.
It was
an audition,
yes,
on the stage. Yes.
Yes. Of course, in those days, it was very difficult to get hold of rare recordings.
Yes.
Of course, these days, you can just find them all over the internet.
Yes, yes.
But you can imagine what it must have been like in 1989 when you hear there's a rare recording and everybody else has got it, but you haven't. So Mendy
Apparently there was only 2,000 of these copies made, and they were not very good. They were very amateurish.
They were, yes. They're full of scratches. In fact, when we play the opera on stage, you actually hear that.
Oh, do you? How exciting, yes.
And it's full of scratches and noises. And of course, one of the funny things is that Mendy's a bit clumsy, and he ruins all the recordings. You remember when you put needles on records and you scratched them?
Did he have a bit of a tremor or something, or he just got excited?
Oh, he's just so excited as he's talking about operas, and he's saying, oh, you must listen to this bit, and then he scratches it. Beginning of the play begins with all this comments about his clumsiness, which is very, very amusing.
Beautiful.
And there's lots of almost Oscar Wilde-ish banter that goes on between the two of them, and lots of very, very funny one-liners that I think the audiences will find very, very amusing.
Oh, I think so. Well, look, you did a lot of research into the play, I know. I can even feel it.
Oh, I have.
Could you tell me all about it?
So much research.
Yes.
So one of the things I had to do was to find out what all the operatic references were. And I thought it would be an easy task, but it wasn't.
No.
So as I was researching, I was downloading all the information so that I could just hand it across to the actors so that they'd know who I was talking about or who the playwright is talking about. And it ended up to be about a 54-page document with all the references to the operas that are sung, the famous singers who are mentioned, actual lines of some of the operas that are quoted. And I thought it was very, very important that the actors understood the Italian that they had to learn, particularly Mendy, because he actually sings lots of the operas, bits of the operas on stage. And of course, the meaning of the words are very, very important. So the research that went into the play was enormous, but very, very interesting. I've become so besotted with opera, and in particular the La Traviata and Tosca and all the other many operas that this play is based on. I was amazed to find out how many operas, wonderful operas there are about jealousy and revenge and betrayal. And it's the stuff of opera. It really is.
And of course, as you say, opera is grander than life, but it is life. This is it.
It is.
What it does is it gets all these grand emotions that we all have, and it puts it out there for us to see. And
it does,
and it's important that we get to know what we're like inside, I think.
Oh, the script is amazing. Yes, it really is. It's so well written.
Yes. Well, what about lighting? Did you have any sort of special lighting to create the atmosphere?
The first act takes place in Mendy's apartment, and Mendy is operatic, so it's all lush and plush and red and curtained and beautiful. So the lighting is very, very warm. Mark Nicholson, who does my lighting for me, has done a wonderful job on creating the warmth of this first act. And then we've contrasted it with the second act, which is set in a very, very stark, almost white set with white furniture, and the costumes are very monochromatic as well. And of course, we've got subtle lighting changes that take place within the play that highlight the emotions that are being experienced on stage. And right at the end of the play, and the very dramatic moments at the end of the play, like opera, we've got some rather dramatic lighting, which is just emphasizing what is happening on stage.
I like the idea of the contrast between the plush and all the furs and all the reds and the warmth, and you've got this almost like a fluorescent light lighting next to it, stark and raw. So what are some of the major challenges you as a director had in getting the play to the performance level?
Well, the Garrick Theatre is a tiny little theatre. The stage is very, very small. How on earth are you going to stage it?
Yes.
You know, there are entrances and exits, particularly in Act 2, there are four rooms. There are bathrooms, bedrooms, front doors, kitchens, and so on.
Yeah.
So to try and make all that work on the stage was really quite tricky. We're very lucky that the Garrick Theatre has a built-in revolve, so that makes it a bit easier. One of the major things was casting it. I found an absolutely wonderful cast. Martin Churcher playing Mendy.
Oh, goodness.
Which is a delightful character. He's a great theatre practitioner. Then I've got Adam Poole playing Stephen. He was so funny in The Boys in the Band. Patrick Dalmes playing Mike, a very, very accomplished actor. Then Alex Comstock is playing young Paul. I directed Alex in The York Realist last year. So wonderfully accomplished cast. So getting the right cast is important. You've got to get the right actors in the roles. For the actors, I think just getting their heads around the script, particularly all the operatic references, the pronunciations. I've managed to bring in Grace Edwards, who came in and helped them with the Italian and the French and the German, just to get all the pronunciations right. Helping with the American pronunciations, Philip Steele Young. And then, of course, all the recordings of the music. My goodness, we've had to find so many bits and pieces of music for this play. Playing bits of La Traviata, bits of Schubert, Wozzeck, which comes in the second act. The music stops and starts, and then there are bursts of music which come from next door, and then there's a bit of Wagner which plays, and then there's a bit of rock and roll, and then Villa Lobos.
Don't you think, really, Barry, that when he was writing that, Terence McNally, it was a bit of self-indulgence with that sort of stuff?
Oh, yes, he is an opera buff himself. He adores opera, and I think he knew so much about opera, far more than I do. And in fact, opera was the basis for three of his works, The Golden Age, The Lisbon Traviata, and Masterclass, which is all about Maria Callas. And he absolutely adored Maria Callas.
But who couldn't?
He said, I listened to recordings over and over again. I memorized them.
She's amazing, isn't she, though? She really is an icon in the music field.
I've been listening to a lot of Maria singing, so I'm much of a fan of Maria Callas now.
But she was an opera figure in herself, wasn't she, really?
Oh, she operatic was, yes.
She was a tragic figure,
yes. She had a tragic life as well, and I think that's perhaps reflected in the play as well. The play is very, very clever because there's so much foreshadowing of things that are to come in the second act within the first act.
Yes.
You know, the references to specific operas and what's happening in those operas and the behavior of the characters and Maria Callas herself and her life itself. The first act ends with a famous documentary recording, which we had to make, of Franca Zeffirelli talking about Callas with the characters listening to her.
Yeah, for him to do those references and to go in and out of the text and be so meticulous about what he said previously and then rounds it up later on. It sounds like a bit like a mathematician in many ways, doesn't he? He hasn't missed a trick, has he?
Oh, he hasn't. He is such a good writer. Mm. My goodness, I knew he was good, but not. I didn't realise quite how good he was until I really delved into this play. His research and his knowledge is astounding. Yeah. It really is.
That's why he's so good, though, isn't it? That comes out, it shows in the polish of it all, doesn't it?
When I do plays, I generally try and choose plays that I really like, but for me they have to be plays that are going to really evoke some kind of strong audience response, whether it be laughter or tears, and I think this play does both of those things. And for me, it has to, the plays have to have very real characters within them, and the dialogue has to be really interesting.
And Maria Callas, well, I suppose Casta Diva's in there, that song Casta Diva from Norma.
They certainly mention Norma a number of times in the play, but that song not particularly. Yeah.
I was looking for her gravesite when I was in Paris at the Père Lachaise.
Yes.
And I went looking and looking and looking, and I found that she just had this little plaque, very modest little plaque, but it was quite beautiful.
Oh, she's still so popular. I mean, there are a number of fans, pages, groups, if you like, on Facebook. I was just amazed at how many people are really still interested in her.
Well, it's as you say, it's because she's a typical tragic, operatic a figure, isn't she?
Yes. And such a wonderful, wonderful performer. And of course, you know, people were desperate to see her on stage. In fact, one of the things in the play, there's a superb, almost an aria towards the end of the play. Stephen mentions Maria Callas and he talks about the excitement of being there and the people who were there. Jackie Kennedy was there, Leonard Bernstein talks about the sound of her voice, and he said that strange, sad siren song, I knew that she was singing just for me. And he talks about the nuances, the intake of a breath, the tones, the pianissimo, the only voice that I wanted to hear. The characters love Maria Callas, and I think they embody that love that so many people in the world had for her.
Yes.
He talks about the evening as being a dream. He says, I was on the same planet at the same moment in time as Maria Callas.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
Of course, the play begins with Mendy listening to her recording, saying, I can just see her. Jet black hair parted in the middle, a chignon in the back, flashing eyes, that white dress with a red carnation, the use of the fan. Oh, God, she was beautiful. The glory. He gets absolutely carried away. So certainly these characters are obsessed with Maria Callas. The interesting thing is that in the second act, when Mike comes in, Mike is clearly not an opera fanatic at all. And how on earth Mike and Stephen have been together for 8 years, we really begin to wonder, because they have such different tastes in music.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. I know the audience are going to absolutely love it. Let's wrap it up there.
Yes.
I think we've had a lovely time talking ourselves, and I'm sure that the listeners...
Oh, yes, we have. Yes, we've been a bit chatty, haven't we?
It's been wonderful. Thank you very much, and good luck with the show. I'm sure it's going to be wonderful.
Thank you so much, Julie, and I hope you come to see it.
Oh, I will.